Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out. Bring them out, bring them out.
Welcome in to the Captain J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you. We got Shay, we got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride here on this Back to Work Monday with open phone lines for you. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Cap, we had so much sports over the weekend. I mean, you, at every turn, any sport you're looking for, there was some excitement, there was some interest. But let me start here, because we're going to talk about the Bears in just a moment. I want to ask you this question, though, because the Masters, we knew that the weather would be crappy on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to rebound on Sunday, which was good, picking up from Saturday, and then it extends right into almost 6:30 last night. There is the one storyline for the Masters was, pretty clearly, live golfers playing with the PGA guys, correct?
Correct.
That was the number one storyline.
Yes.
Who was going to win? Koepka, you know, Rahm, who knew? I did not have a favorite, did not have a dog in the race. What I was just wondering is that for the people that just kind of helicopter into golf, how come Liv does not have like their own Liv shirts? You know, LIV right across the front. So that way you could differentiate the PGA guys from the LIV guys. Everyone just blended in the same. I mean, there is some really hard feelings between the PGA guys and LIV guys, as far as we could tell. Not all of them, but some. So if I'm LIV, I'm like, hey, we're going to be on CBS. We got all this TV time. You're a LIV golfer. So is this like the NWO? You know, like when WCW taking on NWO back in the wrestling in the 90s? A little spray paint right there.
Right.
I'm a LIV guy. Or like a live golf shirt.
Right.
Just to represent where you're from. So because if nothing else, you know what we love in this country? We love conflict. Even in our sports, right? Even if it's faux conflict, we still like the conflict. The idea of a white hat against a black hat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly the live guys are the black hats in this spot. So, how come there's no shirt? There's no something, a little insignia like, I'm a live guy. Take that. Something like that, right?
So I don't see, the Masters is not a PGA event. People think it is.
Right.
It is not.
Right.
It is the Masters. They own the event. The other events on tour are sanctioned by the PGA, or the live has their own tour. Those dudes were on a plane last night to Australia because they have a tournament this week in Australia.
Crazy.
I was also told by someone who would know, who said, I heard you say the other day you wouldn't be surprised if there was a bounty that if one of the live guys won the event, the Saudis would give them big money. Yeah, I'm hearing it was 20 mil.
There you go.
20 mil.
Yeah.
They didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
John Rahm ran down Brooks Koepka, who had a bad final 18 holes. And it was a lot of fun to watch. I was at Wrigley. Two phones going with other events. Drive Shay nuts. I loved it. I think the Masters has some type of a dress code.
Mm-hmm.
That you couldn't wear a shirt that said, I'm a live guy. Not allowed.
Something like that, though. That way you could tell if you're
everybody
just,
knew.
Well, not everybody. Like, again, sometimes people just watch the majors. You know that, right?
True.
Everyone's not watching the Texaco, you know, Open like you do.
Right.
I'm just saying that there's some that just watch the. I'm a majors golf fan.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I am. So I'm just thinking, like, I'm getting confused on which guys are the live guys and which ones are PGA guys. Now, having said that, Phil Mickelson, who looks great, by the way, he's dropped some weight.
I mean, a lot of weight.
Lefty looks good.
Soda.
But here's it. He's not on soda. He is not. Say it with me now. All I'm telling you, Cap, is that with Phil Mickelson, a live guy, you know, it's funny how CBS didn't talk to him. He's right there in the mix. No interview?
No interview.
Because he's a live guy.
Well,
that's the point.
So he, but they talked to Koepka? He's a live guy?
Yeah, he's on the top, though. He was in the mix.
He and by the way, Amanda Baliones?
Yes.
She's outstanding at her job.
I watched her.
So I watched her this weekend during the rain delay. They had her playing golf with Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
It was awesome. She beat Sean Payton.
Yeah.
And interviewed him, you know, very cursory. What's it like going back in the coaching and blah, blah, blah. It was really good. She gets excellent interviews. There's Brooks Koepka. Oh, this is going to be interesting. And he, I thought, was very classy.
Mm-hmm.
When John Rahm won, he hugged him. And what did you tell him? Just, I was proud of him. I was happy for him. It seemed like there isn't the overall dislike for Brooks.
Yeah.
He made a business deal.
Sure.
Phil is the guy who first made the comments about the Saudi government, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Sport washing, the whole thing.
Yes.
They were not going to give Phil that stage, even though he shot career best round at the Masters, 65, finished in second. He was, and he's 52 years of age. Like, there's a lot to discuss there with him. He did his media, like went to the media tent and did all his interviews. But the stage on CBS, no shot.
No Phil. Shay.
Just for Claire, a couple calls. I wasn't aware of this either, but I guess the LIV golfers had the option to wear their team logo on their apparel if they wanted to. It wasn't mandatory, but they had the option to wear their team logo.
No, did not know that.
I just would. I mean, what I'm saying is if I'm LIV, I demand to have myself a LIV golf shirt. To, you know, again, to me, Cap, CBS also dropped the ball on this. I need like a different color on the graphics too. You know,
I thought an asterisk.
Asterisk, live.
Live. Or an L. Like on a horse, it says L for Lasix,
yes.
The drug that the horses take.
Yes.
L. Live.
Yes. And Jim Nantz, by the way, if you listen very closely, taking a shot at Live.
He did.
Take a shot. And now they go to the CW. I mean, crosswalk. You're a jerk. You're making fun of that little channel that Liv is on. I caught that, Cap. Don't think it didn't slip past me.
Yeah.
Now they go to the CW. The crosswalk. Stop. Leave him alone. The little Liv just trying to find a deal. And also, just one little thing that we thought was pretty funny from John Rahm, right? So here's the one thing I think we'll always know is that a lot of athletes, a lot of people are superstitious. Right, especially in sports, right? How remember Turk Wendell from the Cubs?
Yes.
You remember him?
So
it was a licorice?
So he became one of my go-to guys in the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He would, first of all, he was a big hunter.
Yes.
So he had a necklace of bones or teeth from animals he'd killed.
Mm-hmm.
And this huge necklace. Mm-hmm. And then he would chew black licorice and then brush his teeth between innings.
Yes.
Every inning, he had to salute or wave to the center fielder before he could throw a pitch.
Crazy.
Out of his mind. And then he would keep putting more gum every inning that he was in as a starter.
Mm-hmm.
Another piece. Until his mouth looked like it was, you know, going to blow up. And he was the best guy in the world. Awesome guy to do.
He was Dizzy Gillespie.
But yeah, he was as superstitious as they came.
Just like John Rahm. John Rahm is just trying to win the Masters. And by the way, they found on social media, on Twitter, a little fortune cookie that came from a Chinese restaurant. And it pretty much said that, hey, you know what? Things are going to work out well for you. And John Rahm tweeted out in 2013, I'm going to win the Masters. John Rahm is a little bit superstitious. Here's why.
For those people who believe in jinxing other players, people, and whatever it may be, Thursday morning, when I was on my getting on the golf cart to get to this putting green 10 minutes before my tee time, I saw a text from a good friend of mine, and I'm going to name him because he is a Super Bowl winning champion, Zach Ertz. He said the text. I'm gonna paraphrase here, but he said that first green looking like a walk in the park or something like that. Right now, 10 minutes before I four putted to start the tournament. So, thank you, Zach. Don't ever do that again, please.
You can understand, right?
He started with a double bogey.
Yeah.
And from that point on, he played 14 under in really tough conditions.
Mm-hmm.
That course is no easy thing to walk. I've been to that event, and I've been blessed to be on that course. It is as hilly and exhausting an experience to play with every the pressure those guys are under every shot. Yeah, that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was.
I enjoyed it.
He knew he'd win the Masters, though, because it goes back to that Panda Express fortune cookie. He said, it's something along the lines of that your talents will be suitably rewarded. And he says, you know what? I'm going to win the Masters. 2013.
And he did it.
I wonder, did he keep that little fortune cookie? You ever keep those little notes?
I did for a while, and then no.
No?
But I don't eat Chinese food anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So much sodium. Like, I'm getting older. I gotta look out for myself.
Understood.
Blood pressure, the whole deal.
Yes. It's damn tasty, though.
It is.
But then when you get the fortune cookie cap, that's when you know, hey, you know what? This is going to be my lucky day. Some people keep them for a long time.
They do.
But I don't. I pitch them as soon as I see one. Absolutely. The other story about this, by the way, from over the weekend is, you know, we've always had this sports expression of, boy, I don't want this player. I don't want Willie Mays as a Met. Mm-hmm. I don't want a guy toward the end on my team. He can't do it anymore, blah, blah, blah. We see the great Tiger Woods out there, and neither one of us thought that Tiger Woods would, you know, would finish in the top five, top ten in the Masters because, you know, look, he's still going through his injuries. To see him out there, though, Cap, to see him out there just limping around the course, that's enough. He had to withdraw yesterday, and rightfully so.
He couldn't have lasted for 30 holes. He could not have. It's sad. But let's not forget that 2 years ago, was February of 21, I believe, he was in an accident that almost took his life, and they were contemplating removing one leg. And now he's playing, making the cut for the 23rd straight year.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty impressive stuff.
It is. But it just... You don't want to see an athlete like Tiger Woods limping around, having to withdraw. I mean, even today in 2023, knowing that he may or may not be able to win another major, you still want to see him out there, Cap, because he gives you the old memories. Tiger against Phil. That was box office, man. Non-golf fans, people want to see what that was going to look like.
Yeah.
And now you don't get that anymore.
You don't. And I hope he's back there again next year, another year of healing. But look, Phil Mickelson just shot 65 at age 52.
Yes.
Imagine if he'd have won. If he had won that event, oh my goodness.
And representing LIV?
That's my point. Yeah.
That means the screen would have to turn black and white. He gets his own graphic. LIV golfer. That's what I look. I think that that should have been a thing for CBS. Yes, I know it's the Masters and you got the little music going. Vern, by the way. Oh, man. Vern Lundquist.
Patrick Cantlay at 16.
Vern, you all right, pal? You all right? Holy cow.
Can Patrick Cantlay pick it up just a little? Just a little? My goodness.
It's so fun. All right, so coming up, should we believe everything that we hear about the Bears draft or nothing? Boy, that rumor season is in full swing. You know, the draft's right around the corner. We'll talk about it coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Rumors, a lot of them around the National Football League. We're talking to you about it here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Who's that, Fleetwood Mac?
No, we're trying to keep listeners.
Wow.
312-332-ESPN.
Fleetwood Mac's wonderful.
Okay, again, for a certain audience, yes. Not this one. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. Don't forget, we got Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. So, indeed, a lot of rumors out there around the National Football League. And it's amazing, Cap, as we prep and just read over the weekend everything that's going on with the Bears and the draft. You come to find out, I mean, a lot of these guys, there's always rumor and innuendo when it comes to this. Everyone wants to be right. I've never been the guy that's just, I've got to be first, I've got to be right, because I've never been in that space. What I want is to be able to get the information, make sure that it's correct, and then let's talk about it. Let's have a conversation about it. Everyone wants to be first. I know you've read like a million mock drafts. I read a lot over the weekend. No one really knows what the Bears are doing. Nobody really knows.
Well, do you remember Jay Moore played the audio before of Aaron Rodgers going, I'm just letting you know, Schefter and whoever it was. He says, these guys don't know blank. They don't talk to anyone in my inner circle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a shot. I love Adam. That's just in this season, this time. Oh, so-and-so has the Bears taken this player and making this trip. They don't know.
Yeah.
They have no clue what they speak about. The only thing we get to know is, oh, who visited? Nolan Smith, as we speak right now, the Georgia All-America linebacker D-end is at Hallis Hall right now. That's all we know.
That's true.
He's a hell of a football player.
But sometimes there are individuals within an organization that will leave you breadcrumbs. Say, yes, we got a chance to talk to Jalen Carter a couple times. Are the Bears interested in Jalen Carter? Again, it's all conjecture. We have really no idea. All I want, though, and this is why I'm always patient with this stuff, Cap, I just want to see what the final result is. Mm-hmm. Once the draft is done, we could be able to take a look and see, did the front office for the Bears do their due diligence and be able to put in players for the next generation of this team? That's really my concern. Listen, we can talk all day about whether or not the Bears should go up or down in the draft. We can speculate, but no one really knows. Even the great Adam Schefter. Until he gets the information from someone within the organization, then all of this is just a roll of the dice.
Or from the agents. The agents are such a great font of knowledge if you have good relationships with them.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't and you just happen to ask the question, you can't trust what they're saying unless it's somebody you've worked with multiple times in the past.
So you mean a good relationship like how Aaron Rodgers has a good relationship with say, Ian Rappaport?
Well, I have no problem with Ian Rappaport. Schefter, I think they're really good at their jobs. When it comes to me, they don't know shit. They really don't. They don't have inner source. They don't have people in my inner circle who are sources. I can promise you that. And anybody who would talk to them is not in my inner circle. It's that simple.
Yeah.
So I've had this planned on the books for 4 months for the same time. And when someone like that goes on and says something that's not true, it creates a story that's bullshit, and it just keeps on going and going and going. And then it's like I'm trying to insert myself into this conversation.
Yes. Even Ian Rappaport. They're good at their job. They don't know anything about him. I know he keeps his circle tight, Aaron Rodgers.
He does.
So I get it.
Very.
So without really having the inside knowledge of what the Bears are going to do, I'm going to stand pat and go by what I've been telling you for weeks, and that is that with this pick at 9, the Bears should stay put and find the player that they need. That's what I'd like.
And how do I want to say this? I understand where you're coming from, and I'm cool with if that happens. I don't know the phone calls Ryan's getting.
Mm-hmm.
If you told me whoever's the Jets are at 13, if the Jets went, we have got to get that guy.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll give you next year's number one. I'm not saying they would. I'm just saying if that was offered to me, I can't tell you I'm locked in. They got to get this guy at 9. I would love to have 3 first-round picks next year, the Panthers, the Bears, and whoever else in a trade.
Yes.
I don't know if that's feasible. I don't know if that's going to be offered. So I can't tell you 100%, take that guy at 9. I want to know what's offered. Because, I don't think they're contending to go to the playoffs in 23.
That's
I hope I'm wrong. I hope they are in the playoffs. Let me be clear. My eye tells me they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't addressed their D-line. You're not going to take a bunch of rookies and all of a sudden, wow, the Bears won 12 games. I don't see that. I think they're building something. So
they have 2 first-round picks. They have the one at 9 and DJ Moore.
Correct. And then next year they got 2. They got
yes.
Carolinas.
Yes.
And they've got their own.
What I'm telling you is like DJ Moore is better. More than likely better than any wide receiver that you could find in that first round based on his skill set.
Probably.
And veteran presence.
Certainly. Mm-hmm. And he's supposed to be a great teammate. Like, he checks all the boxes.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So DJ Moore makes up for any mistakes that you may make on day two, for instance, in the draft.
Correct. So I don't see them drafting Jackson Smith and Jigba at nine. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they do. Maybe they will.
Maybe they don't.
We're all guessing.
Yeah.
That said, I want to know what they're offered. If you said, holy bleep, he traded down to what and he got another number one? Do it.
Yes, Cap. But again, you are not armed with the knowledge that that Ryan Poles will be able to get the right players that high in the draft.
Correct.
It's something that you and I both don't know.
Correct.
As much as we're good with the draft and what he was able to build, because he needed to fill the bill in the secondary. I get that. Because
mm-hmm.
how bad it was the year before.
Correct.
I just like to know, all this riverboat gambling, is that smoke or is that fire?
Right. We don't know. Again, if he makes a trade and he comes back and goes, look, we have our chart and we got these picks to move from nine to whatever, mm-hmm. and here's why we did it, he still has to hit on the picks.
That's exactly right. No question.
Because as I've said a million times, the guy he replaced works for Atlanta now, and he's not the GM
mm-hmm.
because he missed on four top 10 picks. Three of them he missed. Roquan was a good pick. The other three, Leonard Floyd, didn't work out here. He was fine with L.A. Mitch Trubisky, enough said. Kevin White, enough said.
Right.
So for every Darnell Mooney or Jordan Howard or Khalil Herbert or David Montgomery, the top 10 picks you got to hit on.
So, Shay, I read the same thing that you read over the weekend regarding the Bears. And if Jalen Carter is there at nine, the terrific defensive player out of Georgia, if he's there at nine, the Bears will take him. Or some say that the Bears should trade down and get more picks. All I'm telling you is that you can't get happier than happy. You have to be able to settle on someone. You can't just keep hopscotching around the draft and say, I'm just going to get more here. I don't know what that is. All I know is that at nine, I look at a top 10 player that can help you right away. So if you had your druthers, Jalen Carter, everything, and we've talked about it on the show many times about his picadillos, his issues off the field. Does that correlate to a number nine selection? Everything that he's gone through, does that work for him at nine?
Again, we've been told, it's been reported, it's not like it's breaking news, that they have their security team talking to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like elementary school teachers and people in the community where he grew up. Like they're doing all, and they're not the only team doing this. Every team does this. Every team employs a former FBI agent, a former high-ranking police officer that works for the team. They make sure guys are not doing things that they're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when they draft, this is a massive, multi-million dollar decision. You think they're just going to trust what he tells them when he came up to Lake Forest last week? No shot.
Right. So, we know what kind of talent that he is, though, Cap, at nine. And as a talent evaluator who's been able to scout talent, the good and the bad of talent, we know what Jalen Carter is. I just know that this Bears team needs defensive help so badly. So do you hold your nose and take him? Or do you say, I can't deal with the smoke. I've got to be able to get someone else because I've got a young, impressionable locker room I've got to protect.
Did they have one guy leave Justin to the side?
Okay.
Do they have one other guy that holds everyone accountable and is a building block leader in that room?
I don't see
not
one.
Not that I know of. Maybe it's Brisker. There's some talk. Brisker might be that guy.
Yeah.
But I don't see an Olin Krutz, a Peanut Tillman, a Brian Urlacher. Those types. I don't see that in there.
I think a veteran player and someone has actually done something does matter. That holds weight in the locker room.
That's why Nolan Smith is there yesterday and today.
Mm-hmm.
He's that guy.
Is it Cody Whitehair? I don't know the answer to that question.
Can Tremaine Edwards be that guy? Or Tremaine Edmonds?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's like Hood, the reports I kept reading too were, and we saw last week I brought this up, that Poles maybe is eyeing the middle of the first round between, you know, or the middle of the first two rounds between 20 and 45 mm-hmm. as being the sweet spot. We heard that from David Tepper. That's what the Panthers were looking at.
Yeah.
If that's the case, like the things I was reading yesterday were, if Jalen Carter's there at 9, we're taking him. If he's not, we're moving out. And that, to me, is fascinating, that it could be that much of a decision where it's like, we traded down to 9 in hopes that Jalen Carter would fall to us. If he doesn't, we're trading down and we think we can still get a pretty good player. That is fascinating to me, the idea that it could be to that point.
Like any other Bears fan, I'm just anxious to see what the Bears will do in the draft back going to April 27th. That's going to be fun to see what the Bears do in that first round of the draft. Could it be Jalen Carter, or do the Bears trade down in the draft? You know what, Shay? We have not opened the phone lines. Let's do that now. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Bears fans, could it really be that Jalen Carter could be the next Chicago Bear, the first round in the draft, the number 9 pick? Or do the Bears trade down to get more picks? Would that be a mistake if you draft, if you either draft Carter or go down to get more picks? Let's talk to you about it here on Cap'n Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. As heard right here on ESPN 1000, the White Sox lose to the Pirates yesterday by a score of 1-0. The Sox are 4-6 in their first 10 games. White Sox will take on the Twins today, 12:30 pregame, 1:10 first pitch, right here on the home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000. The Cubs lose to the Rangers 8-2 at Wrigley. Cubs will take on Seattle tonight at 6:40 at the friendly confines. The bowl season is over in the regular season, but they need 2 wins to make the playoffs. They defeat the Pistons yesterday 103-81. John Rahm won the Masters. Odell Beckham Jr. is a Raven. Jay Moore.
Cap'n Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Cap'n Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000. And streaming on the ESPN Chicago app, the same ESPN Chicago app is where you could find White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. You need more White Sox? It's right there on the ESPN Chicago app. Just click White Sox Weekly. Glad you're with us here on this Monday morning as we talk to you about the Bears. Draft is right around the corner. We're asking the question, could it really be Jalen Carter or trade down for the Bears? Would that be a mistake? Either one. 312-332-3776. The character issue, it's something that we've talked about over the years, Cap, doing shows, about whether or not a team can be able to handle someone that has a dark spot on their resume. And to me, I just believe that what happened with Jalen Carter in Athens should not define his life, should not define his career. But I think that there is a need for an organization or players to be able to help this young man through this very difficult time in his life. We have documented on the show how when he went to the combine and how he was 9 or 10 pounds overweight, it's kind of like, dude, like your life is spiraling right now. You've got to get back in control. This is your life. This is an opportunity for you to secure the bag and have a great career. And so how does this get better for him? And if the Bears get him, what can they do about it?
So he gained 9 pounds from the combine to the workout pro day at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
That was the big red flag.
Yeah.
Not so much that he was overweight. It was from the time you left Indy till 3 weeks later, you had all these teams on campus. Did you do nothing but eat pizza? Did you work out at all? Because he couldn't get through the workouts. He was gasping for breath. And they weighed him. And wait, you've gained 9 pounds since Indianapolis, where he weighed in.
Yes.
That was the big red flag that maybe there is something emotionally bothering him going through the drag racing where he saw two friends of his, one a teammate and one a recruiting staffer, killed.
Yeah.
He was involved in that situation in some way, shape, or form. He's a 21-year-old kid now.
Yes.
I don't know his family background. I don't. But you're asking a lot to drop him into a football-insane city. Hey, man, we need you to make an impact as a rookie. Going up against 32-year-old men. It's a lot to ask. And then we're going to give you millions of dollars. We need you to be a self-starter all of a sudden.
even without the tragedy, it's still a lot for a young man.
No question.
Because more times than not, 98% of the time, we're talking about just young boys or really young men really getting into the fray with real men that are seasoned veterans in the National Football League. It's tough. But I just that the whole support system is a big thing. If the Bears are going to get them, you made the point. Who's going to be able to help him out?
So I interviewed Oles? Ryan's got to do his job. He can't spoon feed him.
Right.
I interviewed Nolan Smith. I had a Zoom with him on Friday from Georgia.
Yeah.
The kid who's there right now at Hallis Hall. Unbelievably impressive. Yes, sir. No, sir. Just everything. And I said, have you ever been to Chicago? No, sir. I have not. That's a concrete jungle. And I would just want to find somewhere where there's a little fishing pond. I like to fish and just stay out of the city. And like
he's Andy Taylor.
Right.
He just wants a fishing pond.
Right. And Kerry Wood was the same way when he got drafted out of high school. He'll tell you. He was freaked out taking a taxi cab from O'Hare to Wrigley. I could never live here. And now it's his home. Mm-hmm. You don't just pluck a kid from Georgia with all that's going on and drop him into Chicago and think he's going to walk around downtown and feel like he's at home. He's going to feel like he's in a foreign country.
Correct.
He said, I know Savannah and I know Athens. And then I brought up what Shea was the one who saw it. Shea, you remember you saw him walking down the hall?
Nolan Smith.
So I brought it up. I said, our executive producer and I and Hoodie are down there. And Shea was bringing all the gear in. And he sees Nolan Smith and a bunch of Georgia players, not Jalen Carter.
Cause it was basically their entire defense. And they're all walking through the main hallway at the
convention center.
Yeah, at the convention center in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking by them, and I'm loaded up like saddlebags, basically. I look like a pack mule. And I'm walking by the entire Georgia defense, sans Jalen Carter. And here comes Nolan Smith. And I don't hear what they're all saying, but all I hear from Nolan Smith is, you ain't in Georgia now, mother effer. And that's just yells that in the middle of the combine.
So I asked him about that exact moment that Shea is standing there. Yeah. And he said, Coach Smart tells us all the time, you're a Georgia Bulldog. You have a target on your back everywhere you go, especially in Athens. But if you leave campus, you have a bullseye on you because you play for the University of Georgia. And he said, I remember exactly that moment when Shea was standing there.
Yeah.
And I turned to my guys and I said, we ain't Athens anymore. Act right. He said, we're going to make sure we don't have any issues when we're on in Indy at the NFL Combine. He said, and that's my role as the leader of this team. I loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. That's how the national champions act there, Cap.
That's how they act.
Some of them. Others get drunk and knock on every door in their neighborhood.
That's embedded.
I know he's part of the team. We don't claim him.
He won you two titles.
I don't care what he did. So the trainer.
By the way, I also asked him about the rivalry with Nick Saban.
That guy.
And he said, I'm not going to give them any bulletin board material. That guy's an amazing coach, and we got to always bring our best.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
He was not
No shot. No. You don't think that Saban is sharpening his teeth for this upcoming season, seeing what his guy, Kirby Smart's done?
Oh. How about this one? I learned this weekend from somebody who would know. It said that the Carolina Panthers contingent flew in on David Tepper, the owner's plane, to talk to Bryce Young. And all of a sudden, Nick Saban's door closes, and there's only two people in there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
David Tepper and Nick Saban. They said, if you think Frank Reich and the general manager there are making a call, no. They're part of the process, and he'll listen to them. David Tepper, the owner, is driving the bus on who they're picking at 100%.
That's problematic. 312-332-ESPN.
Hey, billions, you can do what you want.
No, but you can do what you want. But I think that it's more than how much you make. It's you winning. I keep telling you that. It's not about how much you make. You're in sports to win. You want to be the guy that says, hey, by the way, in that same room, everyone's rich. Mm-hmm. Big whoops. Someone's rich. No, it's about being a champion.
Mm-hmm.
And like the Golden State Warriors, all they care about is winning championships. They're all rich. They already have generational wealth. That guy can't be making the call. Sorry. The general manager and the front office should. You have to be able to trust the people around your organization to make that call.
Let me ask you a question. If you bought a team.
Sure.
Michelle calls, goes, you're not going to believe this. I had a relative I knew nothing about. He just left us $10 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And you're buying whatever team it is. Are you going to sit on your beach in St. Lucia in front of your custom beautiful home and just go, let me know when we're playing. I'll fly my jet in. Or are you going to have some say about what's going on? Especially when you trusted them to get Sam Darnold, to get, who was the other quarterback they had there?
P.J. Walker.
No. Who was the starter before Sam Darnold?
Cam Newton.
Yeah, whoever they replaced him, I can't remember. Anyway, are you
going to Bridgewater.
Maybe. Are you going to trust them, or are you going to have some involvement here?
No, I oversee the operation, but of course, I've got people that I trust, that I paid for, to be able to work the operation. I'm not going to be the one making the pick. I'm not qualified for that, Cap. Money doesn't make you qualified. It doesn't.
I don't disagree, but I think he's going to have, like, if that was the Bears, first of all, they're flying Southwest. They're not going in on George's jet. He doesn't have a jet. It's a different. George would say, Ryan, whatever you think we should do.
45 after the hour, here's Mary Vanderbilt. I'm sorry, go ahead.
George would say, Mary? Ryan, Matt, whoever you think.
Mm-hmm.
George is not going to tell them who to take. I think David Tepper is way, I'm not saying it's right, way more involved.
That's fine. I would not operate my team that way. I'm an owner, and I have to pay to get the right people, right coaches, and right personnel to help me win. I can't get my beak in there. Who am I?
You're Jonathan Hood.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, the owner of the team. So that because I've got that much money, I can be able to pay for the best of the best. Coach, general manager, scouts. I want to be the top of the top. I want to be the cornerstone of the National Football League and says, boy, look how many different people he's got there. He's changed the game. Does that mean a Super Bowl championship right away? Probably not. In this NFL, no. But I'm not going to stick my beak in the draft. You don't want a meddlesome owner. That's the worst. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. If we see you on hold, we'll get you your phone calls coming up. If it's Jalen Carter or trade down again, what do you think the Bears should do? We'll get to your phone calls next on Cap and J-Hood.
If you miss something, get the podcast on the ESPN Chicago app. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
This studio, man, what a view.
Yeah, for some things. Cap and Jay Hood.
Some better than others.
On ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app, we'll have Shot or No Shot coming your way 8 o'clock. Also hear from their little guy, Jesse Rogers, 835 on everything Cubs and Sox. As we go to the phone lines, Derek in Brooklyn, New York, listening on the ESPN Chicago app. Hey, D.
Good morning, gentlemen. Cap, Jay Hood, what's goodie?
Sup, D.
What's up? Cap, man, I know I'm kind of shocked right now, man. I normally don't disagree with you, man, but I'm kind of disagreeing with you on your take about Jalen Carter with the money situation and everything. I actually think that Ryan Poles, if we do draft him, he would be in a good environment, and I think that reality check of what happened with the car accident, with the racing, and his staff draft status falling a little bit and everything, I think that's actually a wake-up call for him to realize what he has at stake, and I actually think that will help him be a better person and a better player, and I think the veterans that's on the team, the defensive line, will embrace him and make him realize that, listen, man, you're in the NFL now, man. You got to put your big boy pants on, and you got to step it up. And I think he will step it up if we do choose to draft him. You know what I mean? Jay Hood, I agree with you, my brother. Love you guys. I'm always listening, baby. I'm out here. You know what I mean? Go Bears, bear down. Let's do it.
Bear down. You're the best.
All right, D. We appreciate the telephone call.
The one thing I would say is Derek said he would think that would be a wake-up call. The accident happened and the police charges and all of that. And his response was to basically not work out going into his pro day, eat, and be out of shape and couldn't finish his stuff.
Stressed. Yeah.
So I don't know how it's going to work for a young man from Georgia to get dropped into, this is not going to play now in Charlotte, no disrespect to the Panthers, or Detroit. This is Chicago.
Careful.
Yes. This is as intense a city as it gets about its football.
It only works two ways, Cap. It's pretty simple. It works two ways. Either he is able to flourish from this, or it kills him. Where it goes the other way.
Correct.
Where it's like, I couldn't get over it, and I cannot conform to the NFL way. Just whatever. Because that's a huge, difficult life event. I know we take the emotion out of it when it comes to real life, because we're so into the football.
Mm-hmm.
We're so into, how can player X help my team? But just think about you, if you're in that situation where you are presiding over or in the same situation of two people that you knew that got killed. And then you try to tell police, no, everything's good, and the people are trying to push you away, and they say, Jalen, man, you're going to be the number one draft, top draft pick in the NFL. You got to get out of this situation. I mean, think about how you'd feel. Now, again, with hindsight as an adult, I think we would handle it in an adult way, many of us. But he's 21 years old.
Right. We have many, many, many years of wisdom, and we still make decisions. We're like, I can't believe I did that.
Every day.
Right.
Every day.
You're going to drop this young man at 21 years of age in here, and everyone's going to expect him to be all rookie of the year, this, that, and the other thing. It doesn't work that way. It takes time.
And so the reason why we bring this up, Joey G, is because it's the first pick in the draft for Ryan Poles.
First time he's ever had a first round pick.
And so this is huge for him and also for the Bears. All right, Joey.
Yeah, I called you guys before. Jalen Carter, I just don't want him in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, can Eberflus handle this kid in the city of Chicago, where the night is bright?
Mm-hmm.
I was Shea was telling me that Lucas Van Ness might fall to us at 9.
Mm-hmm.
That's who I would like.
He's
and Woody, you could put me on any time, anywhere with Eddie.
The I'll try to separate you two because I know that you want to go after his throat.
100%. Joey, have a great day, man. We appreciate you.
He brings up Eberflus, and it's kind of like, okay, so again, here's a guy that knows defense. He knows how to coach it. Can he coach the young man, everything that he's gone through?
I mean, they've had good defensive players in Indianapolis, like Darius Leonard, now he's Shaquille Leonard, I think,
mm-hmm.
but Darius Leonard and others, Buckner, DeForest Buckner, like, he did a good job with that indie job. That's how he got this job.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think he could, and there's more than just the head coach coaching him. They have got to have a support system, and I think the Bears do. I really do.
Coming up, shot or no shot in 2 minutes on Chicago's Home for Sports.